Amen.
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 The Lord is good. Are you getting your spiritual eyes open? Can you be seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to get into a little bit of a little bit more of heaven. Now when Jesus told the parables, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. He was talking about a spiritual kingdom. If you want to have natural kingdoms, you can have them if you want them. The kingdom of the nation of Philippines, is it a heavenly kingdom or a natural kingdom? It's a natural kingdom. And natural things are going to what? They're going to pass away. Amen.
Amen.
You know that in the book of Revelation it says, where is it? Chapter 20, 21, somewhere.
It says,
that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of God. I'm trying to see if I can spot that verse right away.
Verse 21.
Oh, here I am looking right at it. No, I'm looking for the verse that says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of God. Amen. What did you say? 11:15, of course. 11:15, yes. All right, the seventh trumpet. The last announcement from God's heaven. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. So that means also that the kingdoms of religion, what is going to happen to the kingdom of Baptists? It will pass away and it will become nothing but the kingdom of God. The kingdoms of Assembly of God.
Ang
The kingdoms of Pentecostal holiness. Amen. These may be good things, but they do not represent the perfect will of God. Because it is the house of God all divided up. And the kingdom of Roman Catholicism is also known as the kingdom of what? Babylon the great harlot. And that is a kingdom that will be destroyed. So any of these other kingdoms that are associated with the harlot, they will be destroyed with her. So in whatever kingdom of religion you have, if it is Babylon, it must fall. Now, how many of you believe that some of God's people are still in the kingdom of Babylon? Yes, because in Revelation chapter 18, it says, "Come out of her, my people." Verse 4. "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues." Now, we are talking about a woman here. A spiritual type of woman. And in the spiritual language, a woman means what?
Church.
So there is church and there is church. There is church that is harlot church. And harlot church is not a true church. Now, I was thinking yesterday, I was looking you over, and I was thinking, how many women here are married women? How many of the women are married women? Okay, I see. A few of you. One. Yes, that's it. Okay. As a married woman, now listen, you single girls, listen to this. As a married woman, how many men do you give yourself completely to in trust? How many men? Okay. I gotta say. say that again. How many men would you give yourself only to? All of your love, all of your affection. I hope that you will say only one man. Isn't that what you said when you got married? Forsaking all others. So your love, your affection is only for one man. Is this not a picture of a true woman? So what is the difference between a faithful wife and a harlot? A harlot gives herself to what? Many, many men. More than one. Whoever comes with the best offer. Now, this is God's language. That means it has a spiritual meaning. You can be in a church that gives herself to many loves. It might be a church that loves much pleasure. Her program is oriented so that the young people will all have a good time. She gives herself to the doctrine of prosperity. Do you understand what I'm saying? She can give herself to many, many causes. But the true church gives herself only to one. She desires to know how can she please Jesus Christ. You see, she's not going to give herself to just lively and loud music. You know, I've been to places where the music is very much like the world. And if you went to a nightclub, you would hear the same kind of music. It would be very loud. And the nightclub. club would be full of young people that are dancing and... smiles on the faces of the girls. And they would be dancing and... and the people would go away and say, we had a good time. To some churches. Now the music will sound pretty much the same. But instead of the words will be changed. And the words will be love of Jesus, love of Jesus. or something like that. And you will dance and you will have a good time. And many, many people will go home that night and say, wasn't that a good meeting? But you have to judge, were you in the flesh or were you in the spirit? When I came in some minutes ago and I heard you praising the Lord, that you were singing, I came over to my place. I closed my eyes, I opened my mouth, and I began to join with you. And I said, these people are coming into the Spirit. I said in my heart, this is something that will be pleasing to the throne of God. Now, when you hear the music that the churches play, perhaps you could ask yourself, is this a picture from Revelation of the throne of God? Can we read a few verses? Yeah. I'm still in Revelation. And I think it's going to be chapter 4. It's the verse that we read that said, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne.
Capítulo 4, versículo 2.
Y para allá, 4, 2. Día a día, digamos a vos, espíritu, o gravita, o listo, salague, la mustaca, trono, o may nadir, cordine.
And we could read the whole part here. Out of the throne was lightnings and thunderings and voices. We could talk about the 24 elders that were seated around the throne.
Mga hamto, mga kaisulong.
We could talk about the rainbow that was round about the throne. Amen. And we could even come here to verse 7, where the picture of the human soul before the throne of God.
There was.
The beast that is like a lion, one that is like a calf, one like a man, and one like an eagle. Oh, desires. Now, I probably don't have them in the right order, but I have the four of them there. So, what are these four animals? What do they have to do with this? So if you go back to the book of Ezekiel, he saw basically the same picture. So what are these animals? Where is the lion? Let's make a different color, shall we? Lion. How many of you have a lion inside of you? The lion might be vicious. He might break out in tears. But he's very prone to mood changes. There was a calf there, wasn't there? Calf? And Ezekiel, in Ezekiel, it was an ox. I don't know what you call these big black cows that go through the rice fields. Toro, is that like an ox?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Toro.
Now, bull. Yeah, I like that word bull too. Stubborn. And because they are so stubborn, they put this ring in their nose. And if you didn't have the ring, if you just put a rope on them and pull. But the ring can be very painful. So when you pull on the ring, so the human soul, see, desires. What will we put for the desires? It There is no creature that has more desires than man. The dog does not want a new dress. The pig does not want a new motorcycle. The cow does not want to go to a new restaurant. The cow does not have a longing for beer or to smoke cigarettes. Alright, what was the other animal? Them here for everybody to see. Would you be okay with that? No, you wouldn't want that, would you? But you see, this animal has to come under submission. Because this soul of man is going to come before the throne of God and worship God. Amen. So we're talking about the throne of God. And in verse 8 it says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Sa kahangturan na naging ko sa trono,
na ang ilang mga korona at ubangan sa trono o muikon. Among Ginoo o Diyos, angay kang mudawat sa pagdaig o sa pasidungog o sa gahong. Kay ikaw may nagbuhat sa tanang butang o pinagi sa imong pagbuhat na mugna ang tanan.
Amen. Now, sometimes when men say that they are playing praise and worship, remember this scene. Remember this picture. Put this picture in your mind when you come before the Lord to praise and worship. If there's just a man getting all the attention to his music, somebody singing, ow! You know, I mean, it's flesh. It's calling attention to me. This worship is calling attention only to the throne of God. There is no elder saying, "How great I am!" I don't hear a pounding of drums in the background. I don't see it here. I see people saying, "Praise, honor, glory, worthy." And it's all about the one on the throne. Even if I make a song and say it's all about him, I could still be drawing attention to me. Okay, enough of that. You've already heard that, right? Been through that. Just another reminder, we got new students here. Now I want to go to the book of Hebrews for a minute. Oh, they're still here? It's okay. We're going to shock you plenty. Come on. Didn't you come to Bible school because you want to learn the truth? If you wanted to learn what everybody told you before, you would have stayed home. God is looking for sons. If you want to be sons, you're going to break a lot of traditional molds. Because we are preaching the kingdom of God. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to ask some more questions. Mount Zion. Mount Zion.
Bukit sa Sion.
Where is Mount Zion?
Asa man ang bukit sa Sion. Asa man ang bukit sa Sion.
Can you find it on the map?
Makita pa pininig yung isa sa maong na mapa.
Yes, you can find a Mount Zion on the map. But he's talking about the real Mount Zion that you can't find on the map. So you see, you're both right. It depends on whether you're in the flesh or in the spirit. How you're going to answer? The history of Mount Zion. Now we're going back into natural things in the days of David. Tell me about the history of Mount Zion. Where did Mount Zion come from in the days of David? Don't everybody answer at once. Who's going to tell me? Yeah, surely you've read 1 and 2 Samuel. Okay, Mount Zion was part of Jerusalem. And David had taken most of Jerusalem. He was to make his throne in Jerusalem. But there was a part of Jerusalem that they hadn't taken. The Jebusites still had a part of Jerusalem. It was very high, it was very well fortified, and they were in control, the Jebusites. So David decided that he was going to take all of Jerusalem, which included Mount Zion. Help me out here, brethren, if I get it wrong. Okay. So David went to take it, and they called down from their high towers, and they mocked David. I think what they were saying is, even if we were the blind and the lame defending it, you wouldn't be able to take it. So they were so confident that David could never take it. But David found a way. What was that little channel called? It was where the water came, isn't it? They had water that came in, aqueduct or something. Yeah. Yeah, so apparently David stopped the water, and then he and his men climbed in through the aqueduct. So David took it, and he made it, as I recall, he made it, what did he put in there? Was it his throne and the... what all did he put in there? Yeah. Yeah. So he put the ark and the tabernacle of David. So he put it in Mount Zion. So Mount Zion, as David would speak in the Psalms, was the highest in symbolism. It was the highest place in God. So, how high do you want to be in the things of God? What is the song that says, I can no more linger on Judea's plain? I must flee to the mountaintop. So you can live in Judea, it's a low area. You can live in Jerusalem, it's a little higher. Or you can live in Mount Zion. What is the song and where is it found in Psalms that says, is Mount Zion the city of our God? How does that song go, Reed? Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north the city of our God? It starts off, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Come here and help us with that for a minute. Do you already know this song? No. Rita, we can just take a little break and we can learn this song. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised.
Okay, that was the song I was
going to
sing.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
See, she was walking in the spirit here. Amen.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Some verses in Psalm, but I don't remember exactly where it is. Okay, now the point I'm trying to make is that Mount Zion was a natural place. David began to speak of Mount Zion as a spiritual place. David began to think of it as the city of God. So, So, let us ask, what is the spiritual meaning of Mount Zion? Do you think the Bible will tell us? Amen. Did you find it already?
No.
No, okay. So let's go to the book of Hebrews. And we'll come to verse 18 on chapter 12. Now we're going to talk about the spiritual definition of Mount Zion. Okay. Oh, here it is. We have the verse. Which one?
48:1-2.
Psalm 48. Verse 1 and 2. That's the song we just sang. You know, David used to sing these. We're just discovering how we should sing them. I don't need to sing it again. You can just write down Psalm 48, verse 1 and 2. Almost word for word, the song that Rita just sang for you. Now you see, David discovered what true praise was. David came before the Lord with a pure, whole heart. David came before the Lord in the spirit. And God accepted the worship that David brought. He allowed David to go into the tabernacle directly before the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. David was not a high priest. He was not of the house of Levi. Under the law of Moses, any man that tried to come before the ark and the mercy seat that was not a priest, he'd be killed. But there was something about the purity of David's worship. That he was allowed to come before the throne of God. Okay, so back to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'll read, and when I get to the one verse, then I'll let you read in Savannah. Most of you understand English pretty good, right? All right, so let me just go through some English reading here first. Verse 18, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that word, that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now, did you all understand that well in my reading that in English?
Not so.
Okay, go ahead. It was strong, it was powerful, and God was there. But it was a terrifying place. Men came before God with great fear. You know, I've often wondered, I don't know very many Muslims, but isn't their God a very fearful God? If you don't behave, they cut your hand off, or they cut your head off, or... A terrible, fearful God. But we have a God of love, don't we? He's a God that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He's a God who opens up His throne and says, you can come now. You can approach me. You can tell me the things that are in your heart. So that was the old order. But now it says in verse 22, but you are come to Mount Zion. The new mountain. The new covenant. You are come to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. Okay. Let's go back to 2 days ago. City of God. What does your city of God look like? Street of gold. No, I'm not making light. Yes, it's the Street of Gold. It's four square. It's all that. But what are you seeing now? Are you seeing natural picture of natural things, or are you seeing what Mount Zion really is? Let's go on. He says, you are come into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. It includes Jerusalem. Amen. Heavenly Jerusalem. Amen. And to the innumerable company of angels. So let's see what makes up this heavenly Jerusalem, this Mount Zion. Let's make a list here. Angels, right? Alright, let's go on. To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Is that the name of your church? Is that the name of your church? General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. We'll just abbreviate it. GACFB. I wonder who the bishop is. You see, it's you can name your church anything you want to name it. That doesn't mean you're going to be part of this. I go down into the cities in America, down into the inner city, and they have these church buses. And some of the churches have their name all along the side of the bus. And they have long names. Born Again Church of the Believers, Faith of, you know, Faith in the Bible, you know. But you see, there you go, I got the new name.
Yeah, but, we are here.
Yeah. Yeah, and can you write all that on a bus? Rudy knows what I'm talking about. Okay, so the spiritual Mount Zion is angels. It's firstborn people of a church. God the judge.
Dios ga.
See, God is a member of that Mount Zion too. Spirits of men. Spirits of just men. So, people spirits, okay. Made perfect. Oh, Jesus! Jesus is part of that city too.
Mm-hmm.
So So it's a city made up of what? What do all these have in common? All of these are spirit people, spirit beings. Spirit beings, angels. Church of the firstborn, spirit beings. God of spirit. Spirits of just men made perfect. Jesus. Also a spirit being. Okay, he's not here in the flesh anymore. He's real. But he, after his resurrection, he came, he showed them that he could eat food. He said to Thomas, put your fingers. See, put your hand here, see where they pierced me. Yeah, I'm real. But I can go through the door and I don't open the door. You see, he was very real. Okay, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, I thought all these were spirit beings. What about the blood? It speaks of the blood as if the blood is alive. What does the Bible say about the blood? What? Life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. Oh my goodness. The blood of Abel, it says it speaks, this blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. What did the blood of Abel speak? Yeah. God said to Cain, the blood of your brother Abel is crying to me from the ground. So Abel, his blood was taken from him unjustly. His life was cut short. And that life that was flowing in his veins is now in the ground, crying to God for vengeance. The blood of martyrs is under the altar in heaven. Crying to God, how long will it be, O God, until you bring us justice for what has been done against us? But this blood is not calling for vengeance. Retribution. It is not demanding that the guilty be brought to some kind of punishment. What is this blood saying? Come. Your sins can be forgiven. Come, I will wash away. Come into this city. I will clean you up. Come, receive my blood, and you can have access to this city. Amen. Well, I've gone over an hour again. Could we maybe come more on this subject? Are you bored with it, or do you want to learn more? Okay, so maybe we'll come to Revelation 21 and we'll look at some other things. And I'll just read one verse and then we'll leave it be and we'll talk about it the next time. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Okay, I think that's enough for now. And you can begin to meditate on where we've been.